different. Now we can start. You'll recall this year I'm going through lessons on the way. Okay, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. And we talked about every time the way, what it is. It's a path, it's a map, it's a choice, it's a goal, it's a group, it's a way of doing things. It's a method of living. It's the Christian life. And today we're talking about prayer. Okay, and we've talked about these other things, and the Lord willing, we'll go through the ones to follow. But today, it's about prayer. Because you see, prayer is an integral part of the way. In fact, prayer may be the most important part of the way. Christians are a praying people. Christians need to be a praying people. Prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Okay, now, you can write out a prayer. You can read a prayer from the Bible. You can recite the Lord's Prayer. Paul commonly put prayers in the middle of his epistles, but I'm talking about talking to God. Okay? I don't know if you do it out loud or if you do it silently or you do it both, but it's a direct communication verbally and using words, I guess, to God. Okay? And Christian prayer is talking to God in Jesus' name. Okay? And there's a little bit of a difference which we will between that and what the world may think. Okay? Jesus' earthly ministry began with, but he would withdraw into desolate places and pray. And his earthly ministry ended with, and then Jesus calling out with a loud voice said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when I start with prayer, I go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. Okay. Now you'll remember in the story of the fall, okay, and I think there's two falls in the first chapters of Genesis. There's the story of the fall with Adam and Eve, and there's the story of the fall with Cain killing his brother Abel. And but you'll recall in both those stories, there's a little interesting, there are interesting statements. You know, with Adam and Eve, it said God, when he approached them after they had sinned, it said he came to be with them in the cool of the evening. Okay, it's almost like God came and sat on their front porch, you know, and had a cool drink before supper. You kind of get the idea that he would come and commune with them in this end of the day. And it would be a very intimate situation, isn't it? And you'll notice in the story of Cain killing Abel, God comes and talks to Cain. He talked to Abel and he talked to Cain. And this is after the sin of Adam and Eve, evidently. But God's still coming and talking to people, to these people. Okay? And he confronts Cain. And Cain says, where's your brother? And Cain says, well, am I my brother's keeper? Of course, Cain has killed him over jealousy. Okay, jealousy which came about because of the intimacy that they had with God. And God said, you know, God says his blood's crying out to him. And God punishes Cain. And Cain says, it's too much for me to bear. And God says, but he doesn't kill him. He doesn't allow anybody to kill him, but the whole story ends with this verse right here. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. John Steinbeck wrote a novel called East of Eden about a Cain-like figure. And so, as near as we can tell, no more of this kind of conversation, this daily meeting, this God hanging around all the time between man and God. And that is why we need prayer. I have a front porch. Do you all have a front porch? We built a big one. I don't use it as much as I kind of thought that I would when I built it. But when I was growing up, before air conditioning, people would sit on the front porch and you would walk down the street and you would say hi to people. Or if you were a kid, they would say, quit riding your bicycle in my yard or whatever, you know, kind of went on. And it was a community kind of a thing. And that is gone because of man's sin. And prayer is our way back to it. Okay. Prayer is where we get to before Cain, before the murder, before the fall, God meeting us in the evening. Okay. I want to read a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Okay. And this is not How Do I Love Thee, Let Me Count the Ways. I hated that poem. You know why I hated that poem? It's because all the girls could memorize it, and I could never memorize it, you know. Well, anyway, I'm getting way off here. She was a strong Christian. But there is no God, the foolish saith, but none there is no sorrow. And nature oft, excuse me, and nature oft the cry of faith in bitter need will borrow eyes which the preacher could not school by wayside graves are raised. And lips say, God be merciful, who never said, God be praised. And we see that, don't we? With people in need of God in times of trouble, and then when the trouble is over, I got no need for it. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about a direction in life which is full of prayer, of talking to God, and hopefully receiving answers from the Lord. Okay. Prayer and Jesus' parables. Okay. We're going to use Jesus as our example in prayer. Okay. And before we do this, I got to say, in one way, he's a bad example. Okay. Because he never prays for forgiveness of sins. Now, we know why that is. Okay, but if we give him that one thing, he's the best example of prayer, and he's the best example of our explanation of why we need to pray. Okay, why do I need to ask the Lord for something if he knows everything about me and he knows I need it in advance? And when we kind of go down that path, we end up with no need for prayer. Okay, and the Bible, the New Testament, is full of needs for prayer. Did you know, by the way, before we get into this, that there is no teaching about prayer in the Law of Moses? There's one little place about talking with the sacrifice that you might could interpret in prayer, but no teaching. Okay. As near as we can tell, in the Old Testament, under the Law of Moses, the requirement was for the priests to do the stuff and you to live your life, and not much prayer going on. Now, we see great prayers in the Old Testament by great men and women, okay? But it's not common, okay? And it tells us probably why, by the time Jesus came, they said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. They couldn't go back to Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy and find out how to pray because it's not in there. And, of course, add that on to all the problems that the Israelites had had. And the you know, Jesus said the people are like a sheep without a shepherd, and they just didn't know how to do it. Maybe they had been to the temple and saw what the priest said, you know, ritualistically over the sacrifice or this or that or the incense or whatever, but that didn't fit in their lives. And so they needed to be taught how to pray. Okay. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, but I think he taught more in the parables than in other places. One, he taught that prayer depends on the Father's generosity. Now, this may sound a little, let's go through it. You'll remember the parable of the friend. You probably don't remember it. We don't do this parable very often. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread." And by the way, I got to cut in here. I've started baking bread and I baked my first loaf. Yeah, and you cannot bake a loaf at 500 degrees for 35 minutes. It just doesn't work. Luckily, I got it out after 12. But anyway, all right, let's start over. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to him and I don't have anything to offer him." And then he will answer from inside and say, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up and give you anything." And he's probably thinking, "You should have thought about this before the grocery store is closed." Did Tom leave? Glenn's here. We can remember when grocery stores closed. Can anybody remember when grocery stores closed? Okay, you're getting old. Okay, yeah. Look at them. They're just sitting here looking like, what? Grocery stores weren't open? They weren't open on Sundays. A lot of them closed at 5 o'clock on Saturday, okay? And so your mother couldn't run by and get a gallon of milk on the way home from church from Safeway. She had to go to 7-Eleven where it was $2 more. Okay, all right. But anyway, I'm way off. I can't get up and give you anything. They didn't even have 7-Eleven back then, did they? Okay. And I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, keep asking. Okay. Now this is not really a story about 3 loaves of bread and 2 friends, one of which is kind of mad at the other for waking him up in the middle of the night, is it? It's a story about prayer. It's a story about our Father in the end, at the bottom line, wants to do good stuff for us, but sometimes it takes some effort on our part. Okay? This begins to answer why pray. Why pray if God knows what we need? Keep asking. The Lord wants you to do it. Okay? The Lord wants you to do it. Prayer requires humility. Okay. You got to be prepared for prayer. And I'm going to say that a little differently. You've got to prepare for prayer. And it's not only kneeling down or finding a quiet place or getting your thoughts together. It's having a life which lends itself to effective prayer. You remember the Pharisee and the publican? The sinner. Okay. The Pharisee gets up and gives this great prayer. You know, "Lord, I am so happy that you have made me so good. You did a great job." You know. And the sinner sits over there and beats his chest and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Whose prayer worked? Okay. Whose prayer worked? The person who humbled himself in front of God. Prayer is a technique in building humility. Have any of you ever gone to your boss, your boss says, "I think you ought to do this," and you don't do it, and later you've gone to your boss and you got to admit that you were right? Let's get a little close to the thing. Husbands. No, I'm not doing it that. Wives. Have you ever gone to your husband and said, you were right? You got to eat a little crow sometimes, don't you? Okay. You husbands know. You all really know that we're the ones that have to do this. Don't, okay, all right. Okay, anyway. Humility is part of the process. Because if we stand in front of God and says, "God, here I come. I'm going to make you do what I want you to do." Sound familiar, by the way? Sound familiar? We're not going to get it done. Because God doesn't work for us. We work for God. Okay. Prayer requires humility. Prayer must be tenacious. It's got to be tenacious. Okay. You remember the persistent widow? She had an evil ruler. We wonder why Jesus told a parable where the God figure was evil, but she did. And she wanted justice, and she couldn't get justice. And the guy wasn't going to give her justice. He didn't care about her. But he finally gave in. Why? because she wouldn't quit. And she nagged him, and she nagged him, and she kept coming back, and she kept coming back. Man, we understand why this is not a persistent widower, don't we? Okay, we get it, all right? She kept coming back, and finally he says, take it, get out of here. Okay, well, God's not an evil ruler. And that's not the reason he does that, but that's the reason to keep on praying. Okay, now I need to talk to you just a little bit about failed prayer. I don't believe there's really such a thing for a Christian, okay, if we've done in faith. But from our point of view, often we think our prayers have failed. Okay. We ask for something for the Lord and we don't get it. And it's something very, very important to us and it doesn't happen. Well, that prayer didn't fail. Okay. One, maybe the prayer will be answered in the future. But number two, if the Lord didn't give us what we asked for, if he never gives us what we asked for, we should come to the realization that that wasn't what he wanted. That wasn't his will. And so we find out by going through the process of prayer and being disappointed, I'm going to put some air quotes around that, being disappointed in prayer, we have moved ourselves, we have allowed ourselves to be moved, I guess would be the better way to say it, into the will of God. Okay. Lord, please kill my next door neighbor. He's throwing garbage on my side of the alley. Well, I got to tell you, I got a feeling that that's probably not the will of the Lord. And I got a feeling to tell you that's probably not a good thing to be praying, and that's not expressing the humility which the sinner had in the parable, and it's not expressing the mind of Christ, it's not expressing anything. But if the Lord doesn't kill the neighbor, maybe someday the light will come on and say, Lord, that doesn't want us to treat each other that way. Okay, you kind of see where these things can go? You can make that application all times, but if you don't get what you're asking for, don't just give up, okay? Daddy, I think she's asleep. Have y'all read Dante's Inferno? All the levels of hell. Judas is in the middle in all these levels, and as your sin get worse. I got to tell you, somewhere in that level is punishment for the people that put all the candy at the checkout aisle at Walmart. Okay. Next to it, by the way, is for the guy that invented that beeper that goes on your car when you leave the keys in it. But anyway. Daddy, can I have this piece of candy? Can I have this piece of candy? No, you can't have this piece of candy. Blah, 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 blah. Eventually they give up, and when you get them out the door, they don't want the piece of candy anymore. Have you ever noticed that? Okay. That's not persistent prayer. Why? Because they're not asking for anything important. Okay. They're not asking with the expectation of me ever giving them. Well, they are asking. It takes them a long time to learn that you're not going to give them a piece of candy. And if you ever give them a piece of candy once, you can add 2 years to the process. Okay. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about, is it? We're talking about serious stuff that we need and we don't always get it. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If for nothing else, it gets us into the will of God. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night, Jesus said. That, remember, justice. Justice is what we deserve. God will mete out to the elect what we deserve for Jesus' sake. Let's look at some of Jesus' examples in prayer. Jesus prayed before eating. That's why we pray before eating. Have you ever wondered why we do it? Because Jesus did it, okay? Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Jesus prayed for guidance, and now we begin to go, wait a minute. What happened to this I and the Father are one? What happened to the Lord knowing his fate, knowing where he was going to the cross? Well, it needed a conversation. Okay, needed a conversation. In those days, he went out to the mountain to pray. Okay, and all night he continued in prayer for God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them the 12 to whom he named the apostles. Important decision. Got to get these 12 guys right. Kind of made a mistake with one. Well, let's don't argue about that, but it was so important that the Son of God needed to pray. Okay. Another thing we learn about why to pray. Okay. Because Jesus did it. Okay. He had that communication. He had that knowledge. He had that ability to know things about people. But he still prayed. He still got down by himself and talked to God. Jesus gave thanks. Okay. Goes back to the poem, doesn't it? Okay. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around me that they may believe that you sent me. Okay. Jesus was thankful, and he said it in front of people. And why? Because he wanted them to know that he was from God, and I think he also wanted them to know to be thankful. Okay. I grew up being taught, and later I found out that this is nowhere in the Bible, but I thought it was and it probably should be, that we ought to begin our prayer with thanksgiving. And that's not a bad way of doing things, is it? Okay. You know, I don't want to use the word buttering up, but, you know, when we go to the teacher and we want to be able to take the test again, you know, we bring him or her an apple, or we say, well, you know what, oh, that's a nice tie or whatever. We kind of understand what's this going on. If you come up to somebody and says you're a crummy person, they're probably not going to do what you want them to do. Well, the Lord appreciates being told thank you because he does a lot. And we've all done things and not gotten any recognition for it, and we know what it feels like. And I think that's part of this being created in the image of God. God has the same feelings. We need to give thanks because it shows that we somehow understand where we fit in God's plan. That the things the Lord has done for us, rain, the things that the Lord has shown to us, his way, are more important to us in the long run than what we're about to ask for. Okay? More important than what we're about to ask. Jesus prayed when troubled. Okay. Someone called it the dark 3 o'clock in the morning of the soul. We've all been there, I think, haven't we? We've all woken up in the middle of the night. We've all been in night during the noontime day when things aren't going right, when we don't know what to do about it, when we think, uh-oh, it's not turning out well. My life is not as good as I thought it was going to be. You fill in the blank of what it is. We've all been there. And for the Christian, over and over and over again, we need to remember that our answer to these feelings is not to say, don't feel that way. You're really the luckiest person in the world. That's not the answer. The answer is prayer. Okay. Now, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. This is talking about the crucifixion, his upcoming death. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I think we might also need to come up with a rule of beginning your prayer with thanksgiving and end it with glorifying the Father, because that seems to be what Jesus did here. But his soul was troubled. He was in conflict. The life was getting to him. Okay. Sound familiar? My guess is it probably does. That's when he prayed. Jesus interceded for his own. Okay. We do too much praying about ourselves and not enough praying for other people. Because praying about ourselves tends toward selfishness. Praying about other people tends toward selflessness. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus prayed for you and me. I do not ask for these only, this is his prayer about the apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the apostles' word. Well, guess who is included in that? You unto me. Okay. That they may also be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus cared about everybody that would follow. And his reaction to that caring was to pray. And here's the final one. Jesus taught that we should pray in his name. Now, I work out at the Commerce, I call it the gym, but it's really the Jerry D. Morris Recreation Center. Bureaucracies do not have small names for anything. Okay. And one of the older women, she's about 85, is an atheist. And she asked me the other day, what do you think about praying in public? And I says, what do you mean? She says, well, you know, like at the beginning of a city council meeting or at a ball game or anything like that. And I says, well, I think it's a good thing. And she says, well, you know, I don't mind it, but it makes me mad when they pray in Jesus' name. Well, these are Christians. I'm not sure whose name she thought they ought to pray into. But it was kind of a common thought that, well, you know, have a little religion, but don't have a little less of Jesus in it. And then she asked me, because I think she had been raised a Methodist and before she fell away, she asked me, why do Christians want to pray in Jesus' name? So immediately I knew that she didn't, either the Methodist didn't teach her right in Sunday school or she forgot it or skipped that day or whatever. And I says, well, Jesus taught us to pray in his name. And then I was able to tell her that I believe that if I follow Jesus, I ought to pray in his name. I ought not to be ashamed of it. And if you want somebody, you know, if you want to have a prayer that doesn't have Jesus' name, don't get somebody that follows Jesus, because they ought not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now let's talk about that. How do we do that? We end our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. And when you're doing these, did anybody do quick prayers? Like prayers at the red light? Now, don't pray for the light to turn green. The Lord's going to take care of that anyway. Okay. But you know, in Jesus' name, amen. I can get it out real fast. Well, I got to tell you that when you think about it, this may be the most important part of a prayer. Okay. Because this is the part that gives it power. Are you guilty too? Okay. All right. How fast? Can you say it faster than me? Have you ever been praying late at night and fallen asleep? And the next morning you wake up and said, did I say in Jesus' name? And so I say it. Now, it used to be when I slept 8 hours a night, that was the longest prayer on record. But now I only get about 3 hours before I wake up, so it's not quite as long, but I got to get it in. I don't think that's what it's talking about, is it? But it's good to say it, because it's good to realize it. And it's important. It's important. Okay. A lot of spammers, of scammers, of people that are trying to cheat you out of your money will call and they will spoof. If you notice this on your caller ID, they will spoof the phone number. Used to, I would look at the caller ID. I mean, I got a regular phone. And if it wasn't for 911 for Hannah, I would get rid of it because I don't think I've got a regular call on it in months and months. It's all been timeshares. And you own a 2014 GMC Sierra, and we wanted you to buy an extended warranty and all that kind of stuff. But so used to, I would look on the number, and if it either had somebody's name or if it was a number close by, I'd pick it up. And of course, this is Microsoft calling. Do y'all get that? We have been told that your Windows computer is malfunctioning. We need to give you control of it. Okay, have you done that? They're able to spoof it. Okay? They're able to spoof it. Well, if I get a friend, I want that phone call. If I get somebody with a 903-367 number, I want to talk to it because it might be something that's happened in my community. There's not many 367ers around Ladonia. But if I get something from a area code that I've never heard of, I'll let it go to voicemail. Well, they're fooling me, okay? But I if a phone call is important, I'm going to take it. Now, if I get a phone call from a stranger, I'm going to go, well, I'd rather you really hadn't picked this up. You know, send me a letter about it. I don't want to talk about it. But if I get a phone call from a stranger that says, I'm a friend of your mother, or I was a friend of your father, you know, and it's not a scammer, or I want to talk to you about your daughter or your son, I want to talk about that call, don't I? Why? Because it's done in that person's name. Well, the best name to drop in prayer is Jesus' name, because he's the closest person to the Father. Now, I got to tell you, you need to remember, I'm going back to this telephone scam kind of thing. Jesus is listening in on the prayer. You can't fool it. Oh, okay? You know, if you don't believe in Jesus, it's not some kind of magic thing. You know, Jesus is right there to say, spoof phone number, bad caller ID, you know, hang up on him, whatever you want to do. By the way, the church needs to develop a proper response to these people. Do we lead them on, and because it costs them 25 cents a minute to have that 800 call, or do we just hang up on them and be rude? But anyway, I'm off again. Okay, so it's important because it gets right to the throne of grace. So a prayer offered in Jesus' name is always going to be more effective than a prayer offered in just kind of some generic, well, I think there's a God up there and I better pray to him, because generally that kind of prayer is only done under extreme circumstances. You know, Lord, I jumped off this cliff, please don't let me hit the bottom. Okay, figuratively and literally. This is important stuff. Okay, praying in Jesus' name gives us two things. One, it gives us to access to the Father for the Son's sake. God, I know your Son. Just like the phone call says, I knew your mother or your father or your brother or your sister. I know him. Okay, it gives us an in. Okay, one of the things about prayer is we want it to work. Okay, we want it to work. And this is the way to get it to work. And number two, and this is what we forget when we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you beat that, Clyde? That's pretty fast. Okay, I'm pretty good at it. Is it gives us harmony with the Father's will. Now, I want you to think about this, and I don't want you to think about it and quit praying in Jesus' name, but what you're really saying down underneath is, I'm with you, Lord. I'm in the boat with you. I am here through Jesus' name. I accept what you accept. Whatever your will is, I just hope that the things I am asking for are within that will. It gives us a harmony. Okay, it removes that distance. Just like a telemarketer is so far away from me that I don't even want to talk to that person, but somebody that knows my mother or dad, I want to get closer to them. Okay, so prayer is a way of life for the Christians. Okay. You know, one of the interesting things, other than in the Lord's Prayer, when it says, give us this day our daily bread and similar things like this, Christ doesn't really tell us what to pray for. We see all kinds of examples, but I take that to mean that he's willing to take almost any plea. Well, no, I don't think he's ready for, Lord, kill my neighbor, he's throwing garbage on my lawn. But you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I think we may be too hard on ourselves when we only pray about ourselves, but we need to move out to praying about other people. But the Lord's willing to listen, and that's probably the greatest part of this lesson, is the Lord's willing to listen. The president is not willing to listen to us. The governor is not willing to listen to us. I'm guessing that we even have trouble getting into the mayor of Greenville, okay? You know, it's just, they just haven't got time for us. God's got time. Okay, God's got time. So here, I'll leave you with this, and then we'll have a short prayer. Pray early. Begin your day with a prayer, okay? Pray before you get in trouble, okay? Maybe you'll stay out of trouble. Pray often. Paul said, don't quit praying. Pray without ceasing. Let it be a continual thing in your life. And this moves beyond that prayer of talking. to that prayer of living. Okay, be prayerful. And finally, pray late. Okay, go to bed. What's the last thing you should do? Probably pray. Okay. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew in our lives that when the end came, we would have time to pray? But if we don't, pray early and pray often. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the rain. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blessings that are within Him. Thank you for this congregation, this group of people that love you. Thank you for the way we're able to lift ourselves up. Dear Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you that you'll listen to us. Thank you that we can come and tell you what is on our mind. And help us, dear Lord, as we pray, to move from being selfish to selfless, to move from what we want to what you want, because it is our desire and our ardent prayer that we live our lives and in your will. And we say this as we always do, but with special meaning today. This prayer is in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.